12:03. Will please come to order. I'd ask that you all rise and join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, if you'd call the roll, please.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Ms. Danner?
Here.
Mr. Dipto?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Stone?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Botello?
Here.
You have a quorum.
That brings us first on our agenda. Mr. Manager, I assume we have no special orders tonight.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Then we have before us the minutes of the January 30th, 2012 regular meeting, 2012-02. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, so ordered. Mr. Manager, any agenda changes
Nothing,
tonight?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
That brings us next to public participation on non-agenda items. Any member of the public may address the Assembly on an issue otherwise not on our agenda tonight. No speaker may testify, however, for more than 5 minutes. I have one person who is asked to address the Assembly during this portion of the meeting, Mr. Mike Peterson. Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mike Peterson, I reside at 724 Fifth Street on Douglas. Two items I'd like to speak to you about. The first one is the ongoing or current contract or union negotiations, number one. I am a union supporter. I'm a member of Teamsters. By way of disclosure, I'm not a member of MEBA, or neither is my wife, or International Association of Firefighters, or the Public Safety Employees Association. It's my understanding that MEBA, you're currently under contract negotiations with them now. The fireman contract comes up the end of 2012, and the Public Safety Employees comes up at the end of June of 2013. My point on this issue is I would just ask that during these budget cuts, when you discuss or look at union negotiations, if you talk about freezes or cuts, that you do so in a fair manner across the board, that you not pick out one union because it might represent a certain portion over another because of what they might do. So I just want to, you know, thank you for the opportunity to make that public comment that you just across the board. And then the second one I'm here for is a sales tax. And I might be remiss here. I see that your protest, there's under protest are two liquor licenses. And I'm assuming that the reason why they're under protest is because of sales taxes. Is that a fair assumption? Okay. I'll take that nod as yes. I was in business for myself in 1978. To 1986, and again in 1990 to 1993. And during those terms of being self-employed, I always paid my sales tax. And my point here is that money is not theirs. It's yours. It's the city's. And I imagine this, the Assembly members have been hit with a lot of alligator tears from people that come up and whine and cry about why they can't pay their sales tax. And for those 95% of the businesses that do, and being one of them, I just don't understand why the other 4% can get away with it so much. So that's my point on this, is that that sales tax money that they accrue during their daily businesses, the bottom line is it's not theirs. It's ours slash yours. Those are my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Are there any questions or comments? Thank you very much for your testimony. That concludes public participation on non-agenda items. We move next to the consent agenda. And again, any member of the public may ask that an item other than an ordinance for introduction be withdrawn so that testimony can be taken on that item. Let me ask if there is any member of the public who wishes to have an item withdrawn. Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to ordinances for public hearing. We have first before us Ordinance 2012-03, Version B. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the Commercial Passenger Vehicle Code and providing for a penalty.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would make several changes to the Commercial Passenger Vehicle Code
As recommended by the Juneau Police Department, it would add a definition for limousine services to the code, which currently doesn't exist. It would allow the commercial passenger vehicle administrator to reject an application for a CPV permit from any business that has unpaid CVV fines or fees. It would allow the administrator to suspend the permit of any CPV driver charged with criminally offensive sexual behavior as defined in our code. And it would also reduce the penalty for operating without a certificate of public convenience and necessity from a misdemeanor to an infraction, with a fine of $300 per day for each vehicle so operating. Version B makes changes to the definition relating to limousine service from the original ordinance. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
We have several members of the public who have requested the opportunity to testify. I began first with Ms. Karen Wright.
My name is Karen Wright. I live at 4269 Marion Drive. I am one of the owners of Juneau Limousine and had a couple of concerns about the ordinance or the regulation as it was proposed. There were a couple of things. Under 20 CBJ AC 40.120 under the fees, item A, number 2, and then A again. It says application inspection fee per motorized vehicle to go from $150 to $50.
Ms. Ryan, I need to interrupt for a moment here. We have two different commercial passenger vehicle issues before us. One is a change to the ordinance, and the other falls later in the meeting, which is with respect to the actual regulations that are being proposed, and I believe you're right now commenting on the administrative code.
Okay.
Do you have any testimony you would like to offer with regard to the ordinance proposed tonight? I'll give you a moment to take a look here.
Thank you. On this particular one, I don't.
Ms. Wright, I'll certainly provide you an opportunity to testify later when we take up the regulations.
Okay, thank you.
And thank you for coming forward. Let me ask next Mr. Steve Hamilton, and again, perhaps to clarify, are you wishing to testify on the ordinance or the regulation?
Regulations.
And then Mr. Jeff Wright. Okay. Is there any member of the public who is not signed up who wishes to testify on Ordinance 2012-03, Version B? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. And call on Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move Ordinance 2012-03-B for the purpose of discussion.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a question for the city attorney. This was before us in the Human Resources Committee, and it was the regulations, which are later in today's agenda, were before us in the Human Resources Committee. And it was my understanding that the ordinance that was to be coming to accompany it was going to address the changes necessary for those regulations. But this seems to cover other territory.
Mr. Harnell?
I drafted the items that the JPD asked for.
Okay, so why is there a change in the commercial vehicle fine here rather than, can you clarify that, rather than in the regulations?
Sure.
Mr. Harnell?
The charter provides that penalties, fines, jail, and whatever, has to be done by ordinance.
Okay. And why are we removing the mandatory court appearance?
It's changing it from a misdemeanor to an infraction, and then changing that infraction. I think it's right near the end of the ordinance. Yes, page 4, between lines 11 and 12, it shows that violation of this section formerly was a Class A misdemeanor, that's stricken, and the new language in italics as an infraction, and then each vehicle each day shall be a separate infraction with a $300 fine. I think JPD could testify as to how I think they feel that that's a more effective enforcement mechanism under the circumstances.
Okay, great. Mr. Mayor, if I may continue, my concerns are really based on a sense that there is some conflict between different market segments within our community with regard to providing public transportation. The taxi drivers, the shuttle service providers, the tour operators, and I was expecting to see definitions in this ordinance that would resolve some of the issues that were discussed at HRC.
Ms. Tanner, let me ask whether they've been at least addressed in parts on page 2, section 3, lines 5 through 13.
This identifies that charters are only a part of the limousine service, basically. And right now we see on shuttles, and I don't even know if we see it on taxis as well, but I know that on shuttles we see tours, shuttles, and charters. And it was discussed expressly that charters are not an appropriate service for our shuttle fleet, if you will. I went back and looked at the ordinance 2000-09, which at that point identified let me just read 430B1 of that ordinance. It said, the purpose is to authorize services which are limited as to time and place for the purpose of providing services to an identified market segment. This was with regard to shuttles. In 2000, there was a limit in time and place. In this ordinance, there is only a limit in place. And so we limit where shuttles can stop, but not that they have to follow a schedule. My understanding of one of the conflicts between the taxi industry and the shuttle industry is that taxis feel, because we impose upon them the requirement that they be available to our citizenry 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and we impose a fee schedule upon them, that we, with those limits, also come certain territory, if you will, a market segment. They're the ones who can be called to provide service from any point you like, your home to a place of business, or to the airport, or to downtown, whatever you like.
Ms. Danner, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it strikes me that, again, just as I had Ms. Wright basically stop her testimony, because I think a lot of this is really connected with the regulation again and the Class B conditions that are included in regulation, that we might want to address it when we get to the regulations.
I think the problem is that we're missing a definition. I asked for this in the Human Resources Committee meeting, a definition of shuttles, of tours. Our old tour designation for this group was actually born, our shuttles were born from courtesy vehicles. That's what they were called in 2000. And I guess you probably know better than I do why we changed them to shuttles and changed the way things are. But I just feel like I need to understand it again because it creates so much disharmony in our community.
Mr. Manager, I don't know whether you'd like to call the police department forward to perhaps address this issue in any detail.
Do you want to come up, Jennifer or Bob?
Hi, Jennifer Adams. I'm the CPV administrator with Juneau Police Department. And so your questions, you're trying to determine the different types of service. Is that what we're doing? So we spelled out charter and limousine in the ordinance, because in the ordinance it had a line allowing for those types of service, but it didn't define them. And then in the regulation, when we get to the regulation part, there's a definition of tour that has been changed. So that will cover that portion of it. And then the shuttles is actually spelled out within the regulation itself as to the type of restrictions that they have. There isn't an actual definition for them, but there is spelled out the type of service that they provide in the regulations.
Ms. Danner. Is there currently a requirement for time and place in terms of the shuttle schedule?
There is a requirement for approval of their route. So they have to submit the route map, and it has to be approved. And when they submit their route map, they submit their hours of operation, but their hours of operation isn't something that we do enforcement on. We do enforcement of the route.
Ms. Danner? Ms. Danner, you have the floor.
If I am the only person at this table who has questions about this, I feel, I guess, comfortable enough accepting this ordinance as drafted or as presented. And then I just don't know when we'll have another opportunity to tweak it.
Ms. Crane.
I'm having somewhat the same problem that Ms. Danner is, and I have some difficulty with charters being limited solely to limousine companies, and then no definition in here for charters, tours, shuttles, and we get back into the regulations, and we have some, and I have a great deal of trouble with the regulations as they're laid out, and I see the two kind of tied together. So I guess I'm in the same boat Ms. Danner is, with some confusion over this. So I'm prepared to vote no.
Let me suggest that perhaps the better part of valor would be to, at this point, perhaps refer the matter to the Committee of the Whole. If there is confusion, I think we need to work it through, and I'm not, I frankly don't think trying to do this on the fly at this stage makes a lot of sense. Mr. Manager, is there urgency in moving this forward? I understand we want to make sure this is in place well before the upcoming season.
I wouldn't say there's any urgency. I would say I think you're right. It'd be nice to get this adopted before start of the summer season for the sake of the taxis and shuttles.
Members, would you be comfortable with that that direction? And then Mr. Sonite asked that perhaps we could add this to the February 27th Committee of the Whole, and that we plan to, with that referral, also have it back out for public hearing at the next following meeting, which I believe is March 5th. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Mayor, I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. Again, for all of you who have come out tonight hoping to testify on this matter, we will be taking this to a work session where we will not be taking public testimony. It will be one where we will work with staff as a committee of the whole and reschedule it for public hearing on Monday, March 5th. With that, there being no objection to that process, we move next to Ordinance 2012-06. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the building code relating to temporary structures and uses.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would require that applications for temporary structures intended to be used for commercial sales submit certification to the finance department that the applicant is not delinquent with respect to any taxes, fees, or assessments due to the city and borough. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on Ordinance 2012-06? Actually, I see Ms. Melanie Milhorn.
05.
I'm sorry?
05, Mr. Mayor.
I apologize. I think I called for 06, and I should have been calling for 05. And you had. So let me ask again, anyone wishing to testify on Ordinance 2012-05? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2012-05. That's unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That does bring us next to Ordinance 2012-06. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, repealing Ordinance Serial Number 2011-31, authorizing the issuance of a non-recourse revenue and refunding bond, Wildflower Court Incorporated Project, of the City and Borough in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $14,200,000, authorizing the execution and delivery of the necessary financing documents in connection therewith, and providing the form and terms of the bond.
Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would repeal Ordinance 2011-31, which authorizes the issuance of bonds for refinancing Wildflower Court. It's being introduced at the recommendation of the city attorney because after adoption of Ordinance 2011-31, it came to his attention there's at least the appearance of a conflict of interest in the familial relationship between the CBJ finance director and the administrator of Wildflower Court, and that this circumstance has not been explicitly disclosed to the assembly until this evening. Accordingly, in an abundance of caution and in light of the high standards expected of CBJ officials, introduction of this ordinance will give the Assembly the opportunity to cure that oversight, and after an independent review of the merits by the manager, which I've done, determine whether to go forward with the proposed bond refinance as adopted or start anew. And I would, first of all, call your attention to the item in the red folder, in which I think there's the independent review, which I've conducted. And also, I think I'd refer to John. I think you wanted to add something. And my recommendation is a no vote on this ordinance. I would like to see the current ordinance that was previously adopted stand and go into effect.
With that, we have public testimony on Ordinance 2012-06. And again, one person is asked to testify on this, Ms. Melanie Milhorn.
Thank you. Assembly members and Honorable Mayor Botello. I wanted to come and talk about this particular ordinance. My name is Melanie Milhorn, and I reside at 17270 Andrianoff Drive. I am the president of the Board of Directors for Wildflower Court, and I would like to take a moment and introduce our other board members who are here. Devin Mitchell is our Executive Director, Alaska Municipal Bond Banking Authority. Prior to this position, he was a state debt manager, and Mr. Devin Mitchell has a great deal of expertise in bond financing, and we are delighted to have him on our board. We also have Ms. Charlene Morrison, and Charlene is a CPA. She also has a huge amount of financial background and experience in her capacity. She's been a CFO for a number of financial institutions. She's also the controller for Treasury Department of Revenue at one point in time, and CFO for post-secondary education, CFO for retirement and benefits, huge amount of expertise in the financial world. Ms. Frieda Miller has a great deal of background in healthcare, and Frieda has served her community here in Juneau. There's a number of retirees and active employees where she took care of their benefits. She worked for Aetna for a number of years, and she also worked for the Division of Retirement and Benefits as the manager for retirement and benefits for retirees and active employees plans. And we also have Ms. Barbara Ritchie, who is retired at the moment. She worked, as I'm confident many of you know her, law clerk for Alaska Legal Services for the city of Ketchikan, served on the CBJ attorney from 86 to 92, was the chief deputy attorney general for the state of Alaska for 13 years, deputy city attorney for CBJ before retirement in June 2010. And we also are honored to one of the board members who will be joining us shortly is named Dr. Brian Benjamin. Dr. Brian Benjamin is a physician for Search. He's been at Search since the fall of 2010, and he's assigned by Search to follow the Search patients. For Wildflower Court, approximately 30% of our patients are Alaska Native. And prior to coming to Juneau, he spent over 20 years at Duke University and the University of North Carolina Medical Centers as a physician. He's extremely credentialed, and he has a wife who is a physician who works at Search as well. So it's wonderful for Juneau to have parties such as them be in Juneau, and he's going to be joining our board. So that is really, we are quite fortunate. Turning to the ordinance itself, we wish for the Assembly to vote against Ordinance 2012-06 and Ordinance 2012-07. By not passing either of these ordinances, Ordinance 2011-31, which was passed on January 9th, will remain in place. This will allow the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank to proceed with the original schedule for the sale of the bonds, thus taking advantage of the current low interest rates. Fortunately, our economy is showing some signs of recovery, and with recovery, there also comes higher interest rates. We have grave concerns that the passage of 2012-06 ordinance and 2012-07 ordinance will delay the sale of the bonds, thereby placing Wildflower Court at the risk of not being able to get the best possible financing. Wildflower Court has proudly been serving our Juneau community since 1977 and provides quality skilled nursing care and inpatient rehabilitation. Wildflower Court is an integral part of our health care services of the community. In 1997, when the organization was first exploring the idea of building a new facility, they were approached by the then Bartlett CEO, who understood the mission and the need for Wildflower Court and Bartlett Regional Hospital to have a very strong relationship and partnership together. And he requested, the then Bartlett CEO requested that Wildflower Court build their building on the campuses of Bartlett Regional Hospital. That relationship that they have has continued on, and it's a strong relationship. There's no question that Bartlett Regional Hospital and Wildflower Court they work in tandem together. 63% of the discharges from Bartlett Regional Hospital go to Wildflower Court, and nationally, the difference is about 42% of hospitals normally discharge to nursing homes. So we're unique in that particular regard. Wildflower Court is a nonprofit performing a quasi-governmental function. There are 15 nursing homes in Alaska, with the exception of two, Wildflower Court being one, and another nursing home in Anchorage. All of the nursing homes are connected with hospitals. Wildflower Court is unique since the majority of Alaska nursing homes are located within the hospital facilities. Wildflower Court is organizationally strong and has a culture of excellence involving patient care, as evidenced by satisfaction surveys from families and from employees. Wildflower Court is financially sound and exceedingly well managed, as evidenced by awards, accreditation reviews, reports from outside independent auditors. Our current management team has been working at the organization for an average of 8 years, while our current administrator, Millie Duncan, is contemplating retirement. She's increased her mentoring role for the last 6 months with Ruth Johnson. And in the past 2 years, Wildflower Court has been ranked in the top 10% of the nation for staff, family, and resident satisfaction. This past fall, Wildflower Court was awarded the Bronze Quality Award by the American Healthcare Association. The Bronze Award is the first step on the path of obtaining the Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Award. The organization will be applying for the Silver Award this year. In summary, Wildflower Court has solid underpinnings with compassionate workforce, excellent leadership, and a committed board of directors. And your support will help strengthen the long-term component, the long-term financial component for Wildflower Court. So we are seeking your support.
Thank you, Ms. Milhorn. Are there any questions? Thank you for your testimony. Is there any other member of the public who wishes to testify on this ordinance? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Ms. Danner.
I would move ordinance 2012-06 for the purpose of discussion.
You have the floor.
I will support this ordinance with a yes vote for a number of reasons, and there's no joy in this for me. I believe that Wildflower Court is a good facility, is well managed, is worthy of our respect, and provides an important service to our community. It is, nonetheless, a nonprofit, and this I discovered after our meeting last month, will be the first ever nonprofit to have municipal funding through the bond bank. It was my understanding from our January meeting that we were simply refinancing the existing bonds. But now I, after certain research, find that not to be the case at all. The bonds from 1999, it says right on the bonds, this constitutes, the bond does not and shall never constitute a debt or indebtedness or loan of credit of the CBJ. The new bonds are different, and they do represent indebtedness. I think it will never be a problem that it is debt for us. But I don't think we should make that determination without having the discussion. I think it's not our money, it's the people's money. It's not our credit, it's our community's credit. So I think that we need to be well informed about what it is that we're doing before we do it. Now, there was a point about the best possible financing. In fact, I've been told it costs roughly $2,000 a day for every day we delay this refinancing. And I'm sympathetic to that. We really do want to get this refinancing, for lack of a better word, done. Sooner rather than later, because it's $4.2 million. After the $3 point whatever million dollars is retired from the existing bonds, that leaves a residual that can be used for remodeling in the facility in much needed areas. And every day that we delay is $2,000 less that they'll have available for that project. So that's important. But it's like saying, if I could use Warren Buffett's credit, I could get a heck of a remodel. I could get a really good credit deal. But I can't get Warren Buffett's credit. The difference, the reason why there's $4.2 million worth of credit available here in this refinance is because this will be CBJ's credit rating, CBJ's indebtedness. For that reason, I will support this ordinance to reverse the ordinance we passed last month, serial number 2011-31, and then we'll ask that we look at a redo.
Further discussion? Mr. Dibdahl.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it was laid out clearly by our management staff, and I think that it also is an acceptable amount of risk, and therefore my intention is to vote no on 06.
Further discussion? Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess I disagree that what we're talking about is a CBJ indebtedness, although I don't want to be Pollyanna-ish. There is a potential impact to our credit rating, and I feel comfortable that the discussion we had before adopting the initial ordinance discussed that potential risk. We discussed the intercept provision and the terms of non-recourse bonding, and so I join Mr. Dibdahl in being comfortable with what I think very little risk exists here. I did some additional research myself when these ordinances were introduced, and I think there are two offsetting factors I discovered that were not part of our initial discussion. Although one of them perhaps should have been, that the refunding bonds restructure the debt somewhat, and they bring more of the principal to be repaid into the near and midterm. And looking over some projections that Wildflower staff provided at my request from their bond counsel, it looks to me like Wildflower should not have any particular difficulty in meeting these payments, especially, and I read just before the meeting the review that the manager had done by an independent financial professional with a lot of experience here in our community. I think that while it's worth noting that the debt is, I don't want to say front-loaded, but loaded a little bit more to the midterm, it has a very, an almost negligible impact on the debt service payments. So I think that when you combine that with the discount rate applied, this $4.2 million is a present value calculation. And I understand how bond counsel arrived at a discount rate of, I think it was 2.67 or 4, 2.6 something percent. It's a fairly standard method of arriving at that they used. It's very responsible. I quite frankly think it's low. When we're looking out into the future, predicting the future is, right, obviously not something I'm any more capable of doing, but it strikes me as a very low discount rate, which suggests to me that the actual value of this to Wildflower Court is greater than $4.2 million. And so when you roll all those things up, I think this is a refunding that is in the best interest of the community. I think it is a very reasonable risk. And so I'll be joining Mr. Dibdahl as a no vote on this repeal.
Mr. Smith.
Mr. Mayor, three comments, three brief comments. Number one, I believe the appearance of any conflict has been clarified. Secondly, I feel the third-party analysis is complete, and the efficiencies are apparent, so I plan to vote no.
Further discussion? Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Question for staff. Could staff refresh my memory again and tell me just what is the amount of this refunding and indebtedness guarantee for the city? Is it $14 million, $13 million? What is it?
It's $14 million. The bonds that currently exist are $13 million in bonds, and they're asking for an additional $1 million that they will use to make improvements to the facilities, kitchen, carpet, and some maintenance work.
Mr. Wanamaker.
A follow-up to that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What is the effect on the city's credit rating by guaranteeing these bonds when we go out to do our own projects?
Mr. Small.
Since these are revenue bonds, they're not your normal bond. They're a revenue bond guaranteed by the revenue that's going to come in from Wildflower Court. They won't have any effect, shouldn't have any effect on our bonding capacity to go out and bond for other projects.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Tanner.
Thank you. I have a question for Mr. Swope as well. Do you know what the call provisions are on these bonds?
Yes. It's a 25-year bond, and there is no early payment penalty or premium on these bonds.
That's great. That's a big concern for me. Also, I heard Mr. Keel mention independent financial professional. I apologize, but the document that was in our red folders, I haven't had a chance to see it. So if all the answers are there, I apologize in advance. But I haven't had the opportunity to study that document at all. So it's my understanding that in addition to the marital relationship between our director of finance and the director of Wildflower Court, that there's also an overlap in our financial advisors. That might not be the right title.
Mayor, Chip Pierce is our financial advisor for Western Financial or something. He's located down in Oregon, and he's also the financial advisor for Bond Council.
And does that create
or for the bond bank, not bond council?
Does that create a conflict of interest in particular in terms of some question about whether or not, say, the city is receiving clear guidance?
Let me direct that question to Mr. Hartle.
It's our responsibility, mine in particular, to enforce the city's conflict of interest code, and that's kind of how we got here today. It came to my attention after this ordinance was adopted that there was at least the appearance of a conflict. So I met with the manager and we came up with a plan, and we brought before you the opportunity to allow the assembly to decide whether you want to repeal and start over with full disclosure. I don't know what conflict of interest requirements there are on the bond bank officials or on our financial advisor. You have stated the same thing that I know, that Mr. Pierce is the financial advisor for the CBJ as well as for the state bond bank. And I suppose the assembly can take that into account any way that you feel that it's appropriate.
Mr. Hartle, let me ask, is there any reason to believe that in executing his fiduciary duty to us that that would bring him in conflict with his corresponding fiduciary duty to the bond bank on this matter?
None that I'm aware of. I spoke also several times during this last week with our bond counsel, Cynthia Weed in Seattle at K&L Gates, and her assistant, Mr. Thompson, and explained all of that quite thoroughly, I think. And they had, you saw there's a memo in your packet they had really no concerns at all, and I think you could say fairly they recommended that we go ahead on the present schedule and not repeal and reenact.
Further discussion?
Just one more, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Danner.
Thank you. How will we draw the line for the next nonprofit that wants this kind of support from City and Borough of Juneau?
Mr. Swall?
Well, I guess the way I'd respond to that is I don't know you have to draw the line. I think, you know, you should be willing to hear any request. I think this is very unique and specific. I mean, they've made it clear this is really a quasi-governmental entity in my regard. First of all, their facility is located on property we own that they lease from us. And secondly, there's a very close nexus and connection with Bartlett Regional Hospital, which is, I think, why we're doing this. I mean, it's critical to that facility, and they've made it clear it's critical to that facility. So I think this is a very unique situation, unlike any other nonprofit that I can think of that would come forward and want this.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Ms. Danner?
Yes.
Mr. Dibdow?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Mr. Stone?
No.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Mayor Botello?
No.
Motion fails.
That brings us next to Ordinance 2012-07. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, reenacting and authorizing the issuance of a non-recourse revenue and refunding bond, Wildflower Court Incorporated project of the City and Borough in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $14,200,000, authorizing the execution and delivery of the necessary financing documents in connection therewith and providing the form and terms of the bond.
Mr. Manager.
Well, since you just voted not to repeal Ordinance 2011-31, passage of this ordinance would be redundant and is not necessary. I recommend a no vote.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on Ordinance 2012-07? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move assembly approve. Assembly take up Ordinance 2012-07, and I ask for a no vote.
Discussion on the ordinance. Ms. Danner.
While it was referenced in this language for this ordinance is exactly the same as the language that was before us in January, and yet, having read it with new information, I wish to call the attention of the Assembly to the second-to-last paragraph. When issuing tax-exempt bonds for nonprofit third parties, there is a requirement that the public have an opportunity to comment on the use of tax-exempt conduit debt. The CBJ held the required Tax Equity and Financial Responsibility Act of 2008 TEFRA hearing. TEFRA hearing was conducted on December 28, 2011. There were no public comments received. I didn't think anything of that when we read it the first time. But then I went back to look, and we actually were all in a meeting on that day. It didn't come before the Finance Committee. I don't understand exactly how this kind of meeting is structured and how you expect to get public input if you don't even inform the Assembly about it.
Mr. Manager?
Well, I mean, all I can say to that is we went through the normal public process and had the public notices in the paper like we do with any other hearing of this type. So, you know, I'm sorry if you felt that you should have had a personal notice of this or not, but we don't always do that. We went through and checked with the clerks, and John and I both looked, and it did have the normal public notice and process available.
Mr. Hartle, a question for you. I presume that notwithstanding the hearing on December 28th, the TEFRA hearing then, that would equally have been accomplished at the public hearing we held on the adoption of the ordinance to take up this proposed tax exempt conduit bond. Mr. Hart.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am not an expert on the TEFRA hearing requirements, but I did speak, as I said, several times with our bond counsel, and she was quite certain that we had met the TEFRA requirements, that the fact that it had been the finance director was irrelevant under the circumstances, and that even if we'd gone ahead with the redo, that there would not need to be a second TEFRA hearing.
Ms. Crane.
I would just comment that as the chair of the Finance Committee, when I saw the notice for this meeting, I did call Mr. Duncan to see whether this was something that needed to go through the Finance Committee and to ask questions about this particular issue. It was publicly noticed. I felt comfortable with the discussion that he and I had on this, that it would be going through the assembly process and did not need an additional meeting at the Finance Committee level.
For the discussion, is there, we have an objection, Madam Clerk, if you would call the roll.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Ms. Danner?
Yes.
Mr. Dibdahl?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Smith?
No.
Mr. Stone?
No.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Mayor Botello?
No.
Motion fails.
We have next before us Ordinance 2011-11AA. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $41,156.26 as additional grant funding to the Juneau Police Department for upgrades to the radio dispatch consoles. Grant funding provided by the Alaska Department of Military Affairs Division of Homeland Security.
Mr. Manager.
This grant would help upgrade the radio dispatch consoles in our 911 dispatch center located in the police department. It's in addition to an original grant that we got for $600,000 back in FY11. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on Ordinance 2011-11AA? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Ordinance 2011-11AA and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Folks, I would suggest at this point we take a 10-minute recess, and at which time we will take up new business. 10-minute recess.
I don't know why I like it. I just do.
Listening to K2 News in Juneau, Alaska. We're currently on a break from the City and Borough of Juneau regular assembly meeting. Tonight, cloudy, chance of snow and rain late, lows around 31. Tuesday, rain in the morning, then scattered rain showers in the afternoon. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, chance of rain in the evening, then slight chance of snow late. Lows around 30. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain. Wednesday night, snow and rain likely. Thursday and Thursday night, rain likely. Friday and Friday night, mostly cloudy, chance of rain. Highs in the high 30s and lows in the low 30s. We are listening to Whitney Houston.
Chasing my blues away. I'm gonna ride up.
You're listening to K2 News in Juneau, Alaska. The time is 8 o'clock, and currently we are waiting for the CBJ Assembly to resume the meeting.
I see everyone ready to go. Actually, I just take a brief moment and ask that Arlo Hanley, if he would stand up for a moment. Mr. Hanley is working on his Citizenship in the Community merit badge, and one of the requirements is to attend a public meeting and to take note of issues of controversy and writing a report on it. So thank you very much for being here tonight.
Thank you.
With that, we move to new business. First, we do have scheduled on here the proposed amendments to the commercial passenger vehicle regulations. I point out for those who may have arrived late that our intention is to include that in the discussion of the Committee of the Whole meeting on February 27th, along with the ordinance that we have referred as well. That brings us next to the liquor license protest recommendation. And I will actually turn here to the chair of the Human Resources Committee for the committee report. Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met this evening immediately prior to this meeting and recommended that the Assembly waive its right to protest the beverage dispensary license number 6848. For the Baranoff doing business as the Bubble Room Walmart Baranoff.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
We also recommend that the Assembly protest the application for beverage dispensary license number 673, Peterson Pacific Holdings, Inc., doing business as Louise Douglas Inn.
Let me ask if there is any member of the public who wishes to testify on our proposed, the committee's recommended protest. Seeing non-public participation is closed. Let me ask, is there objection to the committee's recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Ms. Danner.
The committee also recommends that we protest the license for restaurant eating place number 4192 for Song S. Kim doing business as Song's Sushi Bar.
Excuse me, I think it was just a...
The Human Resources Committee, I apologize, forwarded this particular license number 4192 for Song's Sushi Bar and Chinese Takeout to be forwarded to the Assembly without recommendation.
Let me ask if there is any member of the public who wishes to testify on the proposed action with regard to license 4192. Please come forward.
My name is Song Kim. I'm the owner and operator of the Song Sushi Bar and Chinese Takeout. The reason why I'm here today is because the restaurant license is come up for renewal, and the CBJ is Finance Committee is recommending to protest to my license. I don't want to come here and cry like a gentleman earlier said, because he is right. that sales tax is not my money. It is the people's money. But I assure you, I've been in business in city of Juneau for over 20 years. I never not paid a sales tax before. And the reason I was behind on sales tax was because I had a heart attack in 2006. From that point, everything fell on me. Every possible bad thing could happen to human happened to me. Like I had a 5 surgery after 2006, a heart attack. And I've been in doctor's care ever since. And the why I was absent from the work, because my health problem, the help that I asked to take care of the business also had a problem with the illness. And then not to mention that that I had a death in the family member during that time. It just everything happened all in once, and I, without me knowing it, I was behind the sales tax. Even though I did make an agreement with the city, voluntarily take a judgment against me and making monthly payment, and I tried to pay more than that amount if I could, and I never been late. Since I made an agreement, which is 2011, early 2011, and I filed the sales tax every month, never late. That point on, and I'm trying to get my life back and work hard, and trying to provide for family. I just remember that the gentleman that said he's been business for that long and he never laid on his sales tax and nobody should get away with it. And I'm not trying to get away with not paying sales tax. I am paying sales tax and I intend to pay every cent that I owe to CBJ before this year. I'm trying to get my life together. And most of the people in Juneau should probably knows that I am a very hard-working man. I am working 16 to 18 hours a day with this kind of health problem to trying to make. And I do support community works, and I do help people who's not fortunate enough to, let's just say that I also do help people who need help in community. It just sometimes life isn't always going the way that you plan. Sometimes this thing happens. Prevent from what you should do at first place. But I assure you that I'm not here to ask hands out or not paying any of that the money that I owe to the people. And as sales tax finance community should know that I've been paying it all. I'm trying to pay it off as soon as I can. But I don't want to rob somebody to pay it. I like to work and make money and pay it.
Mr. Kim, if I understand your testimony, you've been on a repayment plan.
Yes.
You have consistently met that repayment schedule.
Yes.
And can you state right now what the arrearage is? How much do you owe? What's the magnitude?
The original amount was, I believe it was a little under $2,000, but I mean $20,000, I'm sorry. I could have paid it today, I guess, if it was under $2,000. But with the penalties and interest, it was becoming about $25,000, and I've been paying it. believe it's around 21,000 right now.
Are there any further questions to Mr. Kim? Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you. I have a question for staff here. Can staff confirm the payment plan and the arrears amount and the timeliness of the payments?
Mr. Duncan, I believe, has that information.
He's here. Yes, I can confirm that. And the outstanding balance right now is $21,900. And he's paying a minimum of $460 a month.
Mr. Wanamaker, yeah. Follow up, and then Mr. Smith.
Yes, the follow up is this. For Mr. Duncan, I would say, the payment for the arrears is about $450 a month, and he's also staying current with his ongoing sales tax, current sales tax collections?
And I guess to speak to my knowledge, it is my understanding that's correct. But I didn't actually have that specific discussion with the sales tax administrator. What I understand is that he has a COJ, a confession of judgment, that's been out there for a while. And the confession of judgment clearly states that the payment or the confession of judgment and paying on the confession of judgment still leaves a delinquent balance, which is the confession of judgment, and that city's policy would be to protest because of that.
Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
Question for Mr. Duncan. Is this a unsecured note or a secured note? Is it collateral?
The COJ is secured by the individual. Basically, the individual sign and the personal assets of the individual would be put up as collateral.
Ms. Danner.
What is I assume interest continues to accrue on the unpaid balance. Is that true?
That is correct. The interest rate's a little lower because of the law. Once you have a legal agreement such as this, then it drops down to a lower interest rate, but there's still interest charge.
So do you know of the $450 or $460 that he would pay this month, how much of that is interest?
I do not know offhand. I'd have to calculate it, but it's my understanding from the sales tax administrator that there was indications that they were going to try to pay this balance off before the end of the year was the target.
Ms. Danner.
And do you know what the interest rate is?
I don't. I'm sure maybe that
Mr. Harmon?
John might know.
I actually don't know either. It's set each year by the court system, the maximum interest on a judgment. It's set in January each year. I haven't seen the memo for this year's setting, but it's lower than the city's without a judgment. If I could add one more thing, that it's more than just an agreement. It's a judgment against the business that he's entered into voluntarily, along with a stipulation that the city will not execute on that judgment so long as he stays current in the payment schedule. Set a payment schedule. If he stays on that, then we don't execute on it. We submit that package to the court. The judge signs it, enters the judgment, and it's a very powerful tool for the city. So I'm just saying it's more than just an agreement.
Ms. Banner.
And why would we want to remove or protest a business license for selling alcohol? If we were getting payments, what would be the vision here?
You may be asking the wrong person. As city attorney, I have very strong views that businesses that sell alcohol should pay their taxes, and so we have a pretty strong enforcement program on businesses that sell alcohol. And in fact, there's only one time in 20 years that I know of that we have not protested a alcohol business that has an outstanding balance. This case that we've heard tonight, though, with the COJ in place and staying current, probably the best argument I ever heard for it.
Mr. Duncan and then Mr. Dibble.
The Assembly actually has a stated policy that they've given to staff to protest with outstanding taxes, and so we're basically following through on the Assembly's direction.
Mr. Dibdahl.
Yes, and we heard that in committee as well. We also heard that the ABC board would probably follow our protest, which would put Mr. Kim in a position very likely to default on the payment of his taxes and his agreement, which I don't see as a good thing for the city either. So I would move that we waive our right to protest in this instance.
You've heard the motion. Discussion on the motion. Ms. Danner.
If we waive our right to protest, what is what happens next?
Well, presumably his liquor license will be renewed. The protest is just one of many tools that the CBJ has for collecting sales taxes. It's what we do. And I would say, you know, since we've had our city budget shortfall looming, we've been focusing a little more in my office. We've stepped up our effort. I think we have always maintained a good effort. I think it's a little stepped up now. Where there's a judgment in place, you know, we could levy on that judgment at any time, so long as we're meeting the terms of the stipulation. There's just if I can take one more minute. There's two documents. One is the judgment against the business that the owner has voluntarily entered into. The second document is the stipulation, which sets the terms. It has the payment schedule. It says that if he doesn't meet that payment schedule, then it all becomes due, and we can execute on that judgment that hour, sweep the bank account, close the business, whatever is necessary to satisfy that judgment. This is our fairly standard way of collecting it, and we use it on liquor establishments and others as well.
Mr. Hartle, it would also be true that if there were an outstanding debt or failure to substantially comply this time next year, the assembly would be in the same position it is today to protest the renewal.
Yes, and there's also a provision for a mid-cycle protest that we've exercised fairly recently. I'm going to make a small assumption here, but it's quite typical that there'd be a lien filed against the property already as well. We typically always do that, and that could be foreclosed on as well. As I say, the protest is one of several enforcement tools.
Mr. Keel.
I think I got it, but let me make it clear, Mr. Attorney, that annual renewal on liquor licenses such as this?
I believe it's a two-year.
Every other year.
But there is a provision for a mid-cycle protest, which we have exercised in the past. Not on this one, and a different.
And
Mr. Keel.
And Mr. Manager, Mr. Attorney, is it fair to assume that if a payment on a confession of judgment with a schedule like this were missed or delinquent, that staff would then bring to the assembly a recommendation to protest mid-cycle? Am I understanding that would be how we'd handle that?
That's a fair assumption. I think that's exactly how we'd handle it.
Thank you.
Again, we have a motion to waive protest on liquor license 4192. Is there objection?
Objection. I'd like to speak to it, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a difficult thing. You don't want to put someone out of business that's making a good faith effort to catch up on their arrears. But I believe in the other case, the other party had guaranteed things with a personal loan and had made a substantial payment towards the arrears and went into a payment plan. And this is just slightly different. I haven't heard that happen here. So I think we should not waive our right to protest under these particular circumstances. Thank you.
Madam Clerk, call the roll, please.
Ms. Danner?
Yes.
Mr. Dibdahl?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Stone?
Yes.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mayor Botello?
Yes.
Motion passes.
That brings us next to staff reports. Mr. Manager?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Attorney?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
We turn then to assembly reports, begin with committee reports and the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Committee of the Whole will meet on February 27th. We will get an update on the AJ mine. We will also take up commercial passenger vehicles. If time allows, we will look at the CBJ's website, as well as there is a new avalanche report, and we'll just see how we get through the agenda.
Thank you. That brings us next to Human Resources Committee, Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, the Human Resources Committee met immediately preceding this meeting tonight for our regular Human Resources Committee meeting. And at that meeting, we considered board appointments for sister city committee. We had just one opening there, and the Human Resources Committee forwards the name of Glenn Gray for reappointment to that seat, expiring January 1, 2015.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
That's all. Thank you.
That brings us next to Lands and Resources.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At our last meeting, we discussed the ACS tower lease that was in the packet tonight, passed work on the part of the assembly. The Lands Committee forwarded a motion of support to the Assembly to authorize the manager to negotiate with JD Entertainment, also known as the Island Pub, over a piece of property that is CBJ's property that they have been using partially for parking and partially for their dumpster. And at the report of that, this lease could be negotiated to have a payment plan for using that land. So I move that we support, the Assembly support the request to authorize the manager to negotiate terms and conditions for this lease.
You've heard the committee recommendation. Mr. Manager? Any comment on it?
No, I understand. And I'll tell you, I'm going to delegate that responsibility because I'm a personal friend of the owner of the pub, so I shouldn't be involved in those discussions.
With that, you heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Ms. Becker, anything further?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's all. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I turn next to the Finance Committee, Ms. Crane.
Just a reminder that there is a Finance Committee meeting this Wednesday starting at 5:30, and I believe you each got an agenda for that meeting passed out before. Yeah.
And with that, we turn next to our Public Works and Facilities Committee, Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee met last week, and the committee heard requests for consideration for funding from a number of entities for the special 1% sales tax. The Walter Soboloff Center submitted a proposal. The proposed library for the Diamond Park area gave a proposal. The Juneau Arts and Humanities Council gave a proposal for a new mini theater attached to their or adjacent to their current building. And there was maintenance and improvement requests for consideration from the airport and docks and harbors. And the committee forwarded those requests to the Finance Committee for review there without recommendation. Thank you. That concludes the Public Works and Facilities report.
We turn next to our liaison reports, and I will begin again with you, Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I attended the school board meeting last week where they listened to comments from the public and the teachers about the proposed contract changes for the teachers, and it was well attended, and there was a lot of discussion about academic freedom. They didn't reach any decision that night, but they certainly had a lot of discussion about academic freedom. And I'm waiting for the next meeting of the Juneau Chamber of Commerce, which had been rescheduled because of the passing of Mr. Durr. So that concludes the liaison reports for the school district and for the Juneau Chamber of Commerce. Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
No report, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Keel.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Nothing in the past, since our last meeting, the Affordable Housing Commission and the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee both have upcoming meetings.
Mr. Dibdahl.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Gray.
Nothing. Thank you.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll try to let you know when I finish this time. Docks and Harbors have met a number of times. They did the navigational run at Tahu Smokeries, as we talked about last time. And based on that, there's some tweaks that are going to be made, and they're going to do it again. This was sort of like a trial run to see how it might go. So it was successful in that way. Stater Harbor, the design for phase one is proceeding to the 95% stage. You tonight talked about the $600,000 to begin design on phase one of Aurora. Some time ago, we talked about Mount Roberts Tram and the appraisal and the disagreement between CBJ and they're not agreeing with the appraisal. So they are getting an appraisal, but it is not available yet. That's just an update. Hopefully it will come soon. So we talked about the 1% sales tax. Docks and Harbors asked for $7 million for phase two of Aurora rebuild and $2.3 million for the Ock Bay haul-out improvements. The city manager has recommended some funding for Docks and Harbors, the area-wide port operation, $154,100, the port custom building maintenance support, $105,000, the visitor center maintenance support, $28,500, and the cruise dock maintenance, the cathodic protection in the amount of $500,000. The waterfront tour permit applications closed on February 9, and the city outcry auction will be held on February 23rd. I've never been to one of those. It sounds pretty interesting. trip that the port director and port engineer took to Seattle for the boat show was very successful, and I believe they handed out 33 incentives to come to Juneau this summer. Our port director has been discussing the raw fish tax and additional money for our harbors with our local legislators, and he met with Representative Munoz, Representative Cotula, and Jesse Keel, who represented Senator Egan. The Alaska Committee met February 8th, and they would like CBJ to write a letter to our local delegation expressing concern about Eielson Air Force Base closing. So if that is something that the Assembly would like to do, that would be a very nice thing to do. And we're going to be researching whether or not there's been a decline in the Coast Guard in Juneau, because there seems to be some feeling that there is, and we don't want that to happen. We can help it. Sustainability met on February 1st and established three working groups: outreach, climate action plan implementation, and initiatives. And that is all, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Ms. Banner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have two liaison reports today. On the LEPC, the Local Emergency Preparedness Committee, we met on February 8th at noon at Bartlett Hospital, as usual. And I have an announcement of sorts that came from that meeting. The American Red Cross is offering shelter operations and shelter simulation classes on Saturday, February 25th. From 9 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. in room 204 of the Robert Valiant Center at the Bartlett Regional Hospital. These courses are open to anyone who wants to take them. The operations course covers the planning, opening, and closing of Red Cross shelters. The simulation course is a structured game that gives participants the opportunity to practice opening, closing, and operating a shelter. And these classes are a good background for those who would like to be involved in disaster response shelters of any kind. All the classes are free, and if you are interested, you should contact Mr. Ernie Mueller at the American Red Cross here in Juneau. Additionally, on February 8th, I attended the airport board meeting, and I had a really well-crafted announcement for that as well, but they have since misplaced it. There is construction currently going in the main entrance. Both entrances on either side of the main entrance are open and available. The gift shop is being temporarily readjusted, as is the coffee shop. You will find the coffee shop further to your left when you come in than before, and the gift shop slightly squished to the right. The construction will run through May, and the restaurant upstairs, the gift shop, and the coffee shop will be open for business. So we ask for the patience of the flying public while we try to make this facility more comfortable and more energy efficient. And that's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Danner. Mr. Stern.
Mr. Mayor, I have no report at this time.
Let me, in my capacity as the presiding officer, bring to your attention a matter that a party to an appeal of a Planning and Zoning Commission decision that was pending before us lodged with me as the hearing officer on the matter, and that was apparent violation of a member of the body making an ex parte contact on the merits of the appeal pending before us. I've noted the concern, and simply an admonition to all of us, when we do have appeals pending before us, that the prohibition about ex parte contact is for us not to talk with any one party about the substance of the appeal in the absence of all other parties. And most of us are lay people. I have perhaps advantage being a lawyer to be maybe more aware of those issues, but it is a matter we all need to take seriously when we serve in our quasi-judicial role, and I just use this opportunity to reinforce that for all of us as we have matters coming before us. With that, we turn to assembly comments and questions. Mr. Wanamaker.
None tonight, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
Again, Mr. Mayor, congratulations to our city manager-elect, and I was wondering it might be appropriate, maybe not this meeting, but we'd like to hear the progress and the transition. Thank you.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just one sort of compliment, kudos. When the Lands Committee took up the question of a particular cell phone lease and an ordinance implementing that, I believe we introduced tonight, I don't know that Ms. Becker's report necessarily reflected just how long and hard we flogged that issue. But we really beat it to death. And I want to not only compliment my fellow members of the Lands Committee, but the city land staff for how thoroughly they looked at that, how carefully they handled it, and how even between the Lands Committee and preparing the ordinance for introduction, they continued to work that issue. It was remarkable work, and I compliment them for it.
Mr. Dibdahl.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Green.
I would just say that the Alaska Municipal League met in Juneau last week and held a very successful meeting here with it was a legislative meeting and with members from around the state attending.
Ms. Becker.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is something that well could have fallen under the Human Resources Committee report, although it didn't come before the Human Resources Committee. It is the responsibility of the Human Resources Committee to forward applicants for openings, and so I would like to share this notice with the public. The City and Borough of Juneau is seeking applications for citizens interested in serving staggered three-year terms on the Board of Equalization. The Board of Equalization is made up of 6 to 9 volunteers who serve on 3-member panels to hear property assessment appeals. Members are appointed based on their general business expertise, which may include, but is not limited to, real estate and personal property appraisal, the real estate market, the personal property market, or other similar fields. The time requirement consists of 1 training session and 1 to 5 appeal hearings between March and June, depending on the volume of appeals received. Applications are due to the clerk's office on Wednesday, February 29th, and are available in the clerk's office at City Hall or online, and interested members can call the clerk's office. Interested members of the public.
Ms. Danner, thank you for bringing that publicly. Newer members may not be aware that there was a time not that long ago when we had the role ourselves of hearing matters as the Board of Equalization. We looked to a model in Anchorage, which has had a citizen board independent of the Assembly. And I think it's proven to be a great success. It's certainly been also a reduction in our own workload at a crucial time in the year when we're working on budget. So. Again, perhaps we as members have an even stronger incentive to search out for qualified applicants. Appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just one brief comment. I don't say this enough, but I really want to commend staff about how quickly they respond to constituents or citizens' complaints that are solved very quickly and or at least addressed, and that we don't have to deal with them. And I just commend you just how quickly you respond. And I always think attaboy or attagirl. And I want to thank you. Just you do just such a great job.
I have one last item. We've received a request from the Sealaska Heritage Institute requesting $20,000 from the Assembly for Celebration 2012, and I'm going to forward this letter to the Chair of the Finance Committee for consideration in this cycle. With that, I believe, have a request for an executive session. Mr. Manager, would you care to outline the general topic for review?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe the general topic for discussion is to get some direction from the Assembly regarding some ongoing land transactions and negotiations with regard to property along the waterfront.
Mr. Attorney, could you advise us on the propriety of that topic for an executive session?
Yes. The Assembly has done this many times before. It, in my view, fits clearly under Alaska Statute 4462.310(c)(1), matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the public entity. The Assembly, I believe, will be giving direction to negotiator, to the manager, to negotiate potential property transactions.
Chair would entertain a motion to recess into executive session. Mr. Stone?
Mr. Mayor, I would so move.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on the propriety of the executive session on the topic as described? Seeing none, public participation is closed. Ready for assembly action. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. What will happen now, ladies and gentlemen, we will be in a closed session. Everyone will be excused. We will reconvene in public session at the conclusion of the executive session. to take up solely any instructions that may emanate from the executive session itself. With that, we'll take a five-minute at ease to allow the room to be vacated.
Oh, That was Whitney Houston, Want to Dance with Somebody. You're listening to K2 News in Juneau, Alaska. We've been listening to the CBJ Assembly meeting, and they have gone into executive session. The next meeting will be March 5th. Tomorrow, rain. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain. Thursday, rain likely. Friday and Saturday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain. Highs this week in the high 30s and lows in the low 30s. We will stand by until 9 o'clock, at which time we will join Democracy Now. At 10 o'clock is As It Happens, and 11 o'clock is BBC World Service. This is Adele.
Je ne sais pas si j'ai raison de porter des pantalons et des bottes de garçon et mon frère des cheveux longs. Mais c'est bon, c'est bon. Parce que pour acclamer les idoles, on paye des sommes folles. Le programme n'est jamais assez long. On finit la soirée au violon. C'est pas bon, c'est pas bon. Quant à la télévision, pour les jeunes, on laisse une émission. Que nous donne-t-on? Du folklore au son de l'accordéon. C'est pas bon, c'est pas bon. Quand on fait trop de bruit dans la rue, les poulets nous tombent dessus. Et quand on joue dans les maisons, c'est les voisins qui frappent au plafond. C'est pas bon, c'est pas bon. Oui, dans ce monde où nous vivons, on devrait se remettre en question. Il faudrait que nous y pensions. Ça ne tourne pas rond. C'est pas bon, c'est pas bon. Je ne sais pas si j'ai raison de porter des pantalons et des bottines de garçon et mon frère des cheveux longs. Mais c'est bon, c'est bon. Oui, oui, c'est bon. C'est bon. Oh ouais, ouais. I'm young.
Young poet, searching for the truth, searching for the truth in a world full of lies. Young poet, got no excuses, got no excuses, got no alibis. All we got left of you are these teardrops in our eyes. Earth in the sky, earth in the sky, the earth in the sky. Nothing lasts forever. Love the mountains, you love the sea, like endless lines of poetry. To saddle your daddy's horses one more time. Ride that painted mare across a great divide. Earth in the sky, earth in the sky, earth in the sky. Nothing lasts forever. Our lives are like the flowers of the field. They bloom, the seasons change. The wind blows, and then one day we're gone. Nobody knows exactly just how long. Earth in the sky, earth in the sky, earth in the sky. Nothing lasts forever. Embrace the unexpected of life's great mystery. Standing in acceptance, it's then we are set free. Free to love you through our pain. Free to love you through our tears. Free to love you with the passing of our years. Earth in the sky, earth in the sky, earth in the sky. Nothing lasts forever but the earth and the sky. So remember you when the lake don't freeze and the loons proud in the warm evening breeze. And somewhere there's a woman got no man to hold. And we'll remember you when the aspens turn to gold. Earth in the sky, earth in the sky.
earth and sky. Nothing lasts forever but the earth and the sky.
You're listening to KT News in Juneau, Alaska. The Juneau Assembly went into executive session, and I don't expect that there will be much more of the meeting after they come back, but if there was any important news, you will for sure hear it here on KT News tomorrow. And we're going to be joining Democracy Now! At 9 o'clock. At 10 o'clock is As It Happens. At 11 o'clock is BBC World Service. My name is Martha Moore, and thanks for listening. Have a nice evening.